and welcome to this CINCOM podcast. Today my guest is Pete Blackshaw, VP of Strategic Services at Nielsen Online, and author of the just-released book, Satisfied Customers Tell 3 Friends, Angry Customers Tell 3,000. In today's internet-driven and instant communication world, customers have more power than ever, and they're using it. Through what Pete calls consumer-generated media, meaning blogs, social networking pages, message boards, product review sites, and so forth, even a single disgruntled customer can broadcast his complaints to an audience of millions. I recently produced a one-hour webcast with Pete, and in this podcast, I'll give you a small preview of what's discussed in that webcast. Pete, this new era of consumer-generated media is really a game-changer, isn't it?
I think that we're on the cusp of a really exciting conversation, not just because of this book, but I think companies are really starting to open up to new possibilities with regard to how they bond with and interact with consumers. And I certainly hope that the book helps to catalyze much of that. But I think all of us on the call will be responsible for the last mile, so to speak.
And can you tell us a little bit about your background at Procter & Gamble, Planet Feedback, and Nielsen Online, and how this ultimately led to your writing of this book?
At P&G, after business school, had a chance to do a lot more experimentation with all dimension of interactive marketing and advertising. The work that got me most excited involved some of the things that we did around feedback and word of mouth and leveraging advocates. Those were the pieces that really kind of concluded in my mind that probably the biggest idea after I left P&G was this recognition that the web is becoming the world's greatest unsolicited, unaided, unprompted focus group. And I was working at a company that had really perfected the art of sitting down with consumers vis-a-vis one-on-one interviews or vis-a-vis focus groups or through surveys, you know, the art of consumer understanding. What was becoming very clear as the web was beginning to develop into an expression platform is that invaluable insight was emerging just by virtue of consumers talking to one another, venting, praising, and the like. And that struck me as a huge opportunity, and that led me to start a company called Planet Feedback that was kind of one of a very early experiment in what I often refer to as consumer-generated media, which is, you know, first-person testimonials archived online, and that leave a digital trail and that impact, you know, the awareness, trial, purchase behavior of other consumers. And the idea with Planet Feedback is that we would create this portal, if you will, where consumers could, you know, exercise our megaphone. We had a letter writing template where you could write to, 10,000 different companies, and we would customize them. Our whole job was to empower consumers to express themselves, and we would make it much easier for them to, you know, get their feedback across. And that was an incredible experiment, but what happened is that the entire world became a big feedback platform. So while, all sorts of, blogs, message boards, forums, you name it, emerged, Usenet, where consumers were providing feedback, that we ultimately decided to merge our Planet Feedback model with a company that was doing advanced text mining based in Cincinnati called Teleseek, which, really, really smart folks that knew how to slice and dice, millions and millions of comments and make sense of it. And we decided, boy, why don't we put those two together and we'll kind of create one of the world's smartest listening sensors for brands and companies. So we did that, and then ultimately we were rolled up by Nielsen with a couple of our top competitors. One of them was Buzzmetrics, another one was Israel-based Trendum, and then recently Nielsen took a majority interest in our company, and now we're Nielsen Online. And we're basically in the business of listening to what the consumer has to say across thousands of different expression touch points, and then we're translating that for companies in a way that helps them to understand, number one, are they in trouble? Number two, where should they go? And I'll give a few examples of that in a moment. And so all of this kind of converged into this narrative that I put out in the form of this book called Satisfied Customers Tell 3 Friends, Angry Customers Tell 3,000. Now, many have asked, why did you not put all the cool buzzwords in the title of your book? Where is the new stuff? And it's a really good question, and I would be lying if I didn't suggest that I don't get nervous at times that I'm not, you know, putting social media in the cover or that I'm not, you know, using, you know, fancy new jargon. But at the end of the day, I've kind of concluded that everything that I'm talking about and writing about in this book really kind of goes back to very basic fundamentals of consumer loyalty. And more importantly, what I want to accomplish with this book is to suggest there's even more basic principles at work, especially around brand credibility. So you'll see it doesn't have the term social media, consumer generated conversation and buzz, Web 2.0, blogs and bloggers, word of mouth. I mean, all of that is important. I write about it extensively in the book, but it's not really the central thesis.
Pete, in the book you introduce the concept of brand association maps, where you measure the types of terms and phrases you're seeing on the web about various brands. What do your brand association maps tell you about customer service?
Customer service is something that drives a huge amount of negatives. Consumers are on a tipping point of high emotional frustration, and that begs a whole different type of thinking about customer loyalty. It's not just about loyalty, it's also about how do you amplify advocacy or sandbag negativity, and how do you know which of those issues that really drive a lot of pain? I know from my experience at Planet Feedback, having carefully analyzed hundreds of thousands of letters in the wireless industry, for example, that there are certain types of issues that disproportionately drove word of mouth. Billing, for example, was one issue where if consumers felt like they were wronged on a billing-related issue, they had a much higher propensity to tell others. That is a very material piece of data. If you're putting together call center transcripts or trying to figure out how much you spend to recover, because in this new age of virality, the whole art of CRM is often about how do you manage the external media that's created.
And Pete, can you give us a little bit of market backdrop on why all of this matters?
Business Week had a cover story that basically highlighted consumer vigilantes, how these single Vincent Ferraris out there are having a huge impact. And it wasn't an article that said, oh, these non-representative, you know, crazy folks out there, are exactly that. They're crazy. Like, no, these are consumers that are actually expressing genuine frustration with customer service failures. And the article written by Jenna McGregor was largely about how customer service failure is bleeding over into the blogosphere and beyond. And there were some couple themes that I thought emerged that were really, really important. Number one, the consumer's in control. I know that's been a little bit beaten up as an overused expression, but there is a lot of truth to it. And importantly, the consumer has a lot of leverage to create media. You know, number two, the web is an echo chamber and transparency engine into marketing events and processes. So the good and the bad things we do bleed out there publicly. Related points of exposure and engagement are magnified by Web 2.0. Think about it. Web 2.0 is all about participation, enrollment, engagement. Naturally, the things that we do as brands are going to be amplified by those very tools that we often tout. The other thing is that we may learn that customer service might just be the new marketing. That was the other theme that Business Week hit really hard, and I think it's absolutely spot on. The way we manage those precious moments of truth where consumers ask us questions, are feeling pain, are curious, is the type of activity that really drives word of mouth, which in turn turns into a form of marketing. And then the other piece, and this is really important and very central to a key, you know, a couple chapters in the book, is that search and reputation share a symbiotic relationship. So that is to say, AOL took a huge hit in its search results because of the Vincent Ferrari incident. It got so much link love that was really grounded, not necessarily in love, but tough love, that it started to steal the shelf space for AOL. So you type in things like, you know, customer service, and all of a sudden you'd see a nastygram showing up about AOL's bad customer service. And again, we're in a world where our brand equity is now the sum total of our search results, and that's a big sensitivity area.
Now let's talk about listening and responsiveness a bit, what you call the conversational divide.
I think we have a huge credibility gap on this issue, or I sometimes call it the conversational divide. You've got, on one hand, marketing PR, and they're all over the place. There must be, 200 marketing bloggers out there, preaching the gospel of social media and conversations. And everything they say is right. You know, we listen, we engage, we're conversational, send ideas. But they're very much at odds with, you know, what you hear from the people that run the call centers or customer service. They're pretty much, you know, boy, training guide says keep conversation to an absolute minimum. No ideas. We cannot accept ideas. And I think that our opportunity is, like, how do we close that divide? I think the reason why we're not entirely credible in the eyes of consumers is that they see this, sometimes this duplicitous action. They see, you know, preaching, you know, the conversation on one hand, but almost an aversion to it on the other. And I'd say that that's both a challenge, but also an opportunity. I think on the call center side, you know, there's a lot more money that's floating around the conversational environment. The question is, are the marketers best equipped to manage those dollars? In fact, there's been lots of cases where marketers have very clumsily entered the conversation, oftentimes creating negative backlash for brands. On the other hand, I think that the customer service folks really need to rethink the value proposition of managing those relationships. Is it just about process efficiency, or is it actually about cultivating long-term relationships that might actually have a, you know, almost create enterprise value through the viral effect? And these are critical questions that need to be debated and discussed at high levels.
There's been a lot of negative examples in the news, such as Vincent Ferraro's AOL canceling nightmare, and Jeff Jarvis's Dell customer service problems, and the list goes on and on. Pete, can you give us an example of a company that's receiving very positive consumer-generated media and leveraging this to grow their brand?
I think Zappos is actually forcing us to rethink the model. I mean, here you have one of the fastest-growing e-commerce sites. They've moved from shoes to now electronics to who knows what next. And you look at their website, and they're doing all the things that we've been trained to ignore or to discourage. You know, 800 number, everywhere you go, there's another one. They got it in Spanish, right at the top line versus, you know, hidden in the fine print. They've got things like, you know, advertising, you know, all these service dimensions like, free shipping, 360-degree return policy. I don't know if any of you engage with a Zappos rep, you're not really sure if you're talking to the call center or you're talking to the marketing department. It's like they're so devoted to the brand, it actually almost feels like a marketing event every time you talk to them. It's almost like they were waiting for you. And I've gotten to know the CEO, and, you know, he talks about how they've really leveraged the power of employee advocacy as an ad channel, and they've also realized that the real benefit in today's environment, service is the new marketing. So the vast majority of their spending, but for maybe, you know, a small chunk for search advertising, is focused on service. And it plays out in the conversational airwaves. And I think, again, this forces us to think differently about how we manage customer experiences.
Well, thanks, Pete. And any other closing thoughts and advice that you might have for our listeners today?
I think, you know, what's important is that we really need to embrace the consumer as a marketing asset. And if word of mouth is, you know, the number one driver of trust, it's leaving a digital trail, it's impacting search results, we need to think of better ways of enrolling them as part of the equation. And we just can't get it for free. We need to co-invest. We keep talking about co-creation, but we need to co-invest. We may need to create listening platforms and participation platforms that make them feel genuinely important and respected. And it doesn't mean we need to spend an arm and a leg. There are a lot of vendors out there that are providing breakthrough tools to help us connect with and bond with consumers in ways that really drives advocacy, and we need to explore that. Just look at the TV networks and the degree to which they have embraced Web 2.0 as part of their way they do business. They know that driving advocacy among fans is critical to how they build their TV show franchises. And just in the last 18 months, they've really turned their models on their heads. Companies have a long way to go in doing the same thing. I think credibility is everything. At the end of the day, the conversation out there is both indicting and rewarding our business processes, and we need to be extremely attentive to where we're credible. I think CRM processes are more important than ever. You know, they are, that is the listening infrastructure. It dignifies the consumer voice, and it's a great way of kind of managing new relationships with the consumers that are really creating the media. I think the conversation, I didn't talk a lot about this, in part because I didn't want to make it sound like a sales pitch for the things that we sell at Nielsen, but whether Nielsen or other vendors, the conversation can be measured in ways that we would have never imagined before, and that is providing us with the ability to really make smarter decisions as to where we invest or don't invest. It's so quantifiable, we know what are the top drivers, what's being implicated, what's not, and then that can help us make more informed choices as to where we dial up or dial down spending. And then the last thing I would say is, now is the perfect time to get started. And although my book has a bit of a, I wouldn't call it a scare tactic title, but really highlights, you know, what can go wrong, I really spend time at the end basically saying now is a great time to move organizations. I think every CMO, every CEO, head of customer service is focused on this topic. They're waiting for great memos to rise to the top that basically say, let's take action. It can't come out of left field. It has to be grounded in smart thinking, but I think there's a lot of data out there that can help us make a very strong case for repositioning and reinventing the way we talk and interact with consumers.
Well, Pete, it's been great talking with you. We want to thank you for your insight and inspiration today. And for our listeners, if you enjoyed this interview, you'll want to view the full 60-minute webcast at www.sencom.com/Blackshaw. Also check out Pete's new website, tell3000.com, which has tons of great resources and links for ordering his new book. You'll also find these links in the podcast notes. We hope you enjoyed listening to today's podcast, and we look forward to having you join us for the next episode of CENCOM Contact Center Insights. Goodbye for now.